Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
Edvest and You, a local New Hampshire nonprofit providing college student loans and student refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
And from the New Hampshire Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Food. New Hampshire's farms and farmers markets are full of fresh goods, rich with agricultural heritage, and available all year long. You can locate pick-your-own farms, farmers markets, fairs, and more near you using the directories at visitnh.gov/agriculture.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Today, we conclude our series, Going Local. Each Thursday this summer, we've explored one of New Hampshire's seven official regions, and today we finish with the Merrimack Valley region. It's the state's most populated area, including cities like Nashua, Manchester, and Concord, and huge towns such as Londonderry and Salem. The Merrimack Valley is also home to many so-called bedroom communities, some displaying a busy suburban vibe, some a more laid-back rural feeling, and some a bit of both. Today in The Exchange, we're going local to the Merrimack Valley region, and let's hear from you. What's great about living or working in this region, and what would you like to see change? We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. With me in studio, Donna Lee Lozo, former longtime mayor of Nashua. Today, she's executive director of Southern New Hampshire Services. Donna Lee's public service began when she was elected to the legislature at age 24. Wow, Donna Lee, that's great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Also with us, Caitlin Andrews, reporter for the Concord Monitor. She writes the paper's downtown column, and she covers capital area towns. And Caitlin, really nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And also with us, Will Stewart. He's executive director of Stay, Work, Play, a group that encourages young adults to live and work in New Hampshire. Will is also an alderman in Manchester. And Will Stewart, good to have you. Thank you for your time as well.
Thank you for having me.
Well, all of you, this series has been great. And one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of these regions really have a cohesive identity. If someone says, I'm from the Monadnock region, everyone says, yep, I know what that's all about. I know what the culture is. I know what it looks like. If someone says, I'm from the North Country, everyone says, I've been there. You know, I have a sense of what this place is. What about this region, Will? How much of an identity does this Merrimack Valley region have?
I don't really think it has an identity. And I would suspect that most people, if you ask what region that they live in, and they live in the Merrimack Valley, they wouldn't say Merrimack Valley. They would say, I live in or near Manchester, or I live in or near Nashua. They wouldn't say Merrimack Valley, so I would say it really doesn't have an identity.
People say I'm from the Concord area or the Nashua area. Even people in those surrounding towns kind of identify with the city that they're near.
I think so. And I think if you were to ask people to define the Merrimack Valley, they might, in fact, define the Merrimack Valley as being in Massachusetts.
Because the Merrimack River itself spills down into out in Newburyport, I think, is when it dumps into the
Atlantic Ocean.
Correct.
And you have, you know, banks like Merrimack Valley Credit Union, you know, which are headquartered in Mass, and, you know, down in, you know, Lawrence Lowell, that area is also known as the Merrimack Valley. So it's confusing.
So this is just a convenience that the state came up with, basically, when it was redrawing the tourism maps.
Correct. I think it's, you know, because it's not any other region, it had to be something. But what? And, you know, personally, I haven't been able to think of a better name. So that's the challenge.
So when you tell people where you're from, you know, they say, what area of the state are you from? What do you say?
Manchester.
Yeah. What do you think, Donnelly?
Well, you know, it's interesting because they add to that mix Hillsborough and Rockingham County in the southern part. So part of Rockingham County is in the seacoast, but part of it's in the Merrimack
right.
Valley. And then Hillsborough goes over to the Monadnock region, but is also part of the Merrimack Valley. So it is a challenge pretty much any way that you look at it.
Well, what do you think of the fact that we all kind of got lumped together? Concord area, Manchester area, Nashua area, into this one region?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, I was first elected to the House in when I was 24, so back in the 80s. And the rest of the state looks at Nashua and Manchester, and I would dare say the Merrimack Valley, as not part of New Hampshire.
Oh, really? Come on.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, that's not really New Hampshire. You're really, you know, Massachusetts. And, you know, I used to tease people and say Nashua is in between the two M's that shall not be mentioned, Massachusetts and Manchester, because Nashua feels very different, I think, than a lot of places in the state.
Sure. And I'm wondering, you know, what Canterbury, which is the northern end of this official region, feels like it has in common with Salem. I mean, Canterbury is this sort of bucolic place with farms and, you know, a little country store. And Salem feels like Massachusetts.
Exactly. Very different.
By the way, if you're wondering what towns are included, so we talked about the cities, Concord, Manchester, Nashua. The region also includes Canterbury to the north, Pittsfield, Northwood to the east, Henniker to the west, again, very different from the southern tier. And then those southern tier sort of bedroom communities like New Boston, Bedford, Milford, Hollis, Hudson. What do you think, Caitlin? You cover the northern end of this supposed region. What do you think about this question of regional identity?
Well, so for context, I grew up in Guilford, New Hampshire. I was born and raised in New Hampshire. And to me, this area, when I was growing up for the longest time, was just about malls. And then I felt that way about like Manchester, too. You know, you went there to shop and you really didn't do anything else. But once I started reporting on it, I actually realized that a lot of the different towns, every area kind of specifically when I talk around Concord, has kind of its own feel in a sense to it. Like somewhere like Henniker, it feels very different from Canterbury. Somewhere that feels different from Nottingham, which I think is like the eastern border. And obviously, like as you get down into the southern area and the more like populous areas, those all have their own different feels to them. But I think they all kind of relate, like everyone has kind of said, to the cities that they are closest to. I mean, you go out to somewhere like Hopkinton, and, you know, it's one of its draws that people talk about there is that it's close to Concord if you need to get there, but it also doesn't feel anything like Concord. And I think that's what a lot of towns kind of see as the, I guess, like the advantage to being close to their cities is that, you know, when you get to them, it feels far enough away that you can kind of hold on to that quintessential New England town experience, but also you can jump on any major highway and get to a city within like half an hour.
Now, that's interesting. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say, you know, I think it's kind of the flip side of that is, you know, one thing we hear in the greater Manchester area is, you know, we're, you know, location, location, location. One of our biggest advantages is that, you know, we're an hour from, you know, Boston, the seacoast, the lakes, you know, a little bit farther to the mountains. But kind of a converse of that, I remember someone, I won't mention by name, made a joke. She's like, you know, Manchester, an hour from everywhere you'd rather be. I think, you know, a lot of the rest of New Hampshire kind of feels that about us, too.
That you're a decent place to work and shop, as Caitlin said, but, you know, you'd rather live somewhere else.
Right. It's unfair, but I think it's that perception's out there.
Yeah. And changing, which we'll talk about. Go ahead, Donnelly.
Well, I was going to say in Nashua, same context, different spin in the sense that we would say Nashua, it's a great place to live. You have the quality of life that you want in a city that's a manageable size. So you have the amenities of a city, but you can be anywhere you want to be within an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Concord advertises it that way, too. You know, coast, mountains, city. In an hour.
Exactly.
But then you do kind of wonder, well, okay, that's great, but what about us? Like, we're right here, right now. So
we're defining ourselves by what we're not and what we're near, not what we are.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Exactly. Well, let me invite our listeners to join us. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. Today in Exchange, we're wrapping up our special summer series, Going Local. Every Thursday, we've explored a different region of the state. Today, we're finishing up with what's called the Merrimack Valley region, although as we're hearing from our guests, it's not really as regionally cohesive as the other regions that we've talked about in this series. Join us if you live in this area. What do you love about it? What would you change if you could? 1-800-892-6477. Before we get into some of the issues with this region, what's your own history, Donnelly, with this Merrimack Valley region?
Well, third-generation Nashua native. Family that worked in the mills along the rivers. I mean, Nashua is one of the few communities that has two rivers running through it, both the Merrimack and the Nashua. People get confused over which one's which. But long history of public service there, different pockets of the city. I remember getting very involved in manufactured housing when I started in the legislature because the ward that I represented at the time had more manufactured housing than anywhere else in the city. And so did a lot of work around that. When I put the mayor's hat on and look at the city, I think that the fathers that you know, were involved in the difficult periods in the city, were very creative and smart to diversify the workforce in Nashua. So it's really in thirds. A third of the jobs in Nashua are in retail on the border, no sales tax. A third are in technology and all different kinds of technology. And a third is in manufacturing, and not just get your hands and your fingernails dirty manufacturing, but really creative stuff. And so because of that diversity, we withstand things differently than other parts of the state.
Yeah.
So when something happens, the recovery is a little different.
Yeah, that's interesting. And a little bit later, we'll talk about the employment hotspots in this region. For example, Concord, huge driver of healthcare. That's a big, big industry. How about you, Caitlin? What's your own history with this region? You told us a little bit before, but I'd love to hear how you came here and what keeps you here.
Well, so I got my start in reporting out on the seacoast, like, you know, like a lot of UNH grads kind of do. And then I moved over to Concord about 2 years ago to cover Western Concord. So that's like Hopkinton, Warner, Ware, Dunbarton, all in that kind of region. Then last year I took on the Concord Municipal Beat. And then just recently my other towns got shifted off. So now I'm strictly Concord. And so what kind of keeps me here is that being in such a central area is really interesting to watch. I mean, Concord certainly covering the city is a big part of the paper here. And, you know, I live in Concord. I live right up off near UNH Law. So it's really interesting for me to have this relationship where I live in the place I work. And I also like report on the places that I work. So like things like, you know, property tax or like housing or things like that, that, you know, might seem kind of abstract to a lot of people when you work somewhere else is, you know, something that impacts me as well.
So when people want you to write stories about the parking situation in the UNH Law area or what's happening with parks, including White Park, you say, oh, that's kind of my backyard. So it's more interesting.
Yes.
How about you, Will? Your own history with the region.
Sure. So I'm not a native to either the region or the state. Moved here directly to Manchester 14 years ago. And, you know, sight unseen. Didn't really have any history, any preconceptions.
Wait, sight unseen?
Sight unseen. I used
Why?
To be in journalism myself at the time and ended up taking a job at the Hippo newspaper in Manchester and had never been to the city. But looking, you know, I was early, mid-20s, looking for an adventure, something new. And, you know, moved up and just packed the U-Haul, pulled the car and arrived without even a place to stay that night. And I would never do that these days, but back then I did. And I fell in love with the city. It's, you know, Manchester's a weird city, and I mean that in the best possible way. And it's just fascinated me ever since. Like I said, I was a reporter at the Hippo. I did community organizing work after that in the city. I did economic development work for the local chamber, the Manchester Chamber, for a few years. And, you know, now I've, you know, bought property, have a kid in the local schools. I'm an alderman in the city, so
you're deeply invested.
I'm in.
What's weird?
It's so hard to describe.
Because that's not how I would describe Concord.
Eclectic. Eclectic is a more diplomatic term, but you know, I use the word weird as in like keep Austin weird.
Good weird.
You know, type. Yeah, good weird. It's a city of best kept secrets, and I think, you know, there's a perception of Manchester, I think a lot of people have of it. When you ask people to describe Manchester in two words or two phrases, I think a lot of people unfairly will say high crime, bad schools, or maybe opioids, bad schools. There's perception, there's reality. And so I'm not saying we don't have our challenges. We certainly do. But there's a lot that people don't see. And in fact, I wrote a book about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, called An Insider's Guide to Manchester, to try and showcase a lot of the cool stuff that's going on. You know, there's an incredible growing, you know, art scene that people don't appreciate, I don't think. You know, even things like slam poetry that's taking place, you know, every week down in the Mill Yard. You have all the, you know, the tech stuff that's, you know, growing super fast in the Mill Yard. You know, we're also a healthcare center. There's a lot going on, but it just doesn't get the play. You know, if all you're basing your perception on is local media.
That's really interesting, and I'm glad you said that. Perceptions that outsiders have of Manchester, and pushing back on that. What about you, Donnelly? If you had to describe how outsiders see Nashua in three or four words, what would you say?
I think that a lot of them don't know what to think of it. So it's not as bad as Manchester, but it's not as small. I mean, it's really kind of strange when you really think about it, because having served in Concord in the legislature for 16 years and taking that drive every day up and home, Concord reminded me of Nashville when I was a kid growing up, a smaller population, a walkable downtown, you know,
very
that
green,
sort of thing.
Very pretty.
Exactly. In Manchester, you just kind of drove through it, except for Christmas time when, you know, it was a big family trip to go up and drive through and see the Christmas lights on the big, you know, Main Street that wasn't called Main Street in Manchester, right? So I think people look at Nashua and they're not sure what to think. And I think because we're so close to the border, people look at it as a nice, small New Hampshire city to live in while you work somewhere else.
While you commute to Boston. That would be the first word that would come to my mind with Nashua is, you know, commute to Boston.
Right, right. And everybody thinks, well, if you get that train, that's going to make Nashua more of a commuter city. Except for, like Manchester, there's a lot of really wonderful things that happen in Nashua and a lot of things for people to do that they don't realize. Now, I would say probably Nashua has less available to younger folks to do on a Friday or Saturday night that you would encourage them to do. And Manchester, I think, is much the same, but the kind of that middle age group, I think, find a lot of fun things to do, and families find a lot of fun things to do.
So, Caitlin, you've only been in Concord for 2 years, so I'm not going to pick on you too much with this, but two impressions that I've heard from outsiders of the Concord area anyway is used to be, what was it, Concord, the city that rolls its sidewalks up at 5 o'clock or something like
yeah.
that. And then I heard from someone in the Monadnock region that, well, Concord's mostly like big box, you know, chain stores. There really isn't any like local heart and soul there. I heard that from some of the Monadnock region. And I was like, no, no, that's not quite accurate. But what do you think the impressions are of outsiders of the Concord area?
Well, I think it's probably, I mean, I could understand why people would think that, because for a long time, you know, Concord's Main Street was kind of, you know, staid and buttoned up. And I think, you know, like I walk around at night sometimes and certainly does feel that way. I think it's kind of like what Donna said, that it feels like there's a lot of appeal for middle age and for families. But, you know, now there's this idea of like, okay, well, what can we do to bring younger people in? And certainly, you know, with the project of where they redid Main Street, you know, that's been great. That's gotten a lot of design awards, and developers have cited it as reasons for why they're coming in to start bringing housing things. But I think a lot of people are looking to see, okay, what happens next with this? You know, if you've lived in Concord for a while, you see it and you recognize that it's beautiful, but you want to know what else it's going to bring you. I mean, there's like a lot of like key, specifically downtown stores that have been around for a while. I mean, you look at like Joe King's or Gondwana or Gibson's Bookstore. Those are cultural icons in the city. But so also is the Steeplegate Mall, in a sense. And like people wondering, you know, not what's going to happen with downtown, but what's going to happen up there as well. So I think the city's kind of at a really important crossroads where it's trying to decide, like, what happens next? What's going to be the next big turn with the city?
That's interesting. So we did this big downtown renovation project. Seems to be working pretty well. Where do we go next with this?
Right.
It seems like the city is partly investing in arts as a driver to bring people downtown, to make people excited about living here.
Yep. The Capital Center for the Art is definitely something that is talked about a lot. And they recently just purchased the old Concord Theater and are working on turning that into a smaller venue. Of course, like Gibson's has like a lot of speakers all the time. And then, of course, there's Red River Theaters, which is like a community darling, which is actually a community driven theater department that was brought about through the work of the community. So is Hatbox Theater up in the Steeplegate Mall. That is also a community-driven theater point.
Yeah, I mean, I've only lived here 23 years in Concord, and I've really seen the idea of arts and film and music as an economic driver. And I'll talk to you guys about that, too, after a short break. And we'll get into some of the challenges of living in this region. Housing is one of them for sure. Workforce shortages. We've got to talk about the opioid crisis as well and how it's impacted this region. So all that's coming up, and we'd love to hear from you. As we wrap up our Going Local series, we're focusing on the Merrimack Valley region. So if you live or work in this area, let's get your thoughts. 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. We'll be right back.
Thank you. I love all parts of NHPR.
As an NHPR underwriter, you can connect to a news service that is personally important to people across New Hampshire.
Something that connects me to my community, to my state, and it's an important part of my daily life.
And NHPR listeners support businesses that support their station.
We feel that NHPR is sort of part of our family. It's just part of our community.
To learn more about how to speak to NHPR's loyal, community-minded audience, go to nhpr.org/underwrite.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, we conclude our summer series, Going Local, with the Merrimack Valley region, an area that stretches from Canterbury and Henniker and Pittsfield down to the state's southern border, and that includes the state's three biggest cities, Concord, Nashua, and Manchester. So, if you live or work in this area, it's your turn this week. What's your region's biggest problem, and what do you think is great about it? What do you think outsiders think about your region? What are some of the views or stereotypes that you've run into? Let us know. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page. We have three guests. Caitlin Andrews, reporter for the Concord Monitor. She writes the paper's downtown column and for many years covered the capital area towns. Will Stewart is here, executive director of Stay Work Play. He's also an alderman in Manchester. Stay Work Play, by the way, is a group that encourages young adults to live and work in the Granite State. And Donnelly Lozo is with us, former longtime mayor of Nashua, now executive director of Southern New Hampshire Services. Donnelly's public service began when she was elected to the legislature at age 24. All of you, lots of listeners who want to jump into our conversation. So let's go first to Brennan in Manchester. Hi, Brennan. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks.
Sure. Go ahead, Brennan.
So I live in Manchester, and I'm a recent transplant from Washington State. I'm 20 years old, and I think I'm kind of in this stay, work, play ideal audience that alderman's looking for. And I've found that I'm actually really happy with the quality of life and kind of the balance that Manchester offers. I've lived in some rougher parts of the country like Spokane, and even Oakland at one point. And I find it very interesting that people in New Hampshire kind of have this idea that Manchester is like this high crime or, drug ridden place. And I just haven't seen it. There's definitely some struggles in the city, but overall, it's been great.
What brought you to Manchester, Brennan?
Well, originally I was looking just kind of in the country for a state that's got a lot of opportunity. And I found that Manchester was probably the best place in New Hampshire if I wanted to get work. And I'm in the tech sector. I'm a little young, but as a programmer, I found that the tech sector in Manchester is really strong. So I ended up not actually getting the job in Manchester. I ended up being remote out of Boston, but that company is actually moving to New Hampshire. So,
really?
It kind of works out. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Well, okay, so since you're sort of the target demographic, and I can hear the Manchester Chamber of Commerce cheering right now, what do you wish that Manchester had, Brennan? What would make it even more awesome for you?
I recently, there was there's this new place that opened up called Bookery. And I know that Concord has this like bookstore cafe deal going on.
Right.
And recently when that opened up in Manchester, I was pretty happy. That was actually the one thing that I thought to myself, wow, I really wish Manchester had this. It seems like, it's got what I need. So I got to say I'm satisfied.
Okay. Well, there you go, Will. One in your column right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'll address his first point first with regard to, the kind of the reputation for high crime that Manchester has. And if you look at the national statistics from the FBI, Manchester does not have a crime problem. I mean, relative
so
to the population.
Why is there this perception?
Well, I think it's all relative, compared to a lot of the smaller towns. And if you look at per capita, incidents, I've always kind of joked that I want to create like a blog, all about bad things that happen in like the suburbs of Manchester, because everybody likes to blame Manchester. So all the bad things.
I wouldn't do that, but yeah, go
I know. All right. It's my fantasy. I'll never do. But bad things that happen in Bedford or New Boston or.
Do bad things happen in Bedford?
Of course not. No. I think it's just, because Manchester, I mean, we're the largest city in the state, but we're still only 110,000.
Well, and you also have two huge media outlets based in Manchester, WMUR, and the Union Leader, and they need something to cover. And in the news business, if it bleeds, it leads, and there they are in your city, so voila.
Yeah, it's easier to go 3 miles across town than it is to go 30 miles up the road.
Well, add politics to that, right? So people that are running for office, it's always great to run on, we're going to do something about crime, right? So that plays into that same thing. Nashua had the same problem as Manchester. People would think, oh, there's a lot of crime there. You know, top 10 safest cities per capita in the nation. You know, Manchester's the same.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're in great shape there.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
again, not to say we don't have issues.
But
all in all, we're doing okay.
And we are going to cover some of those issues because the opioid crisis, I know, has hit Manchester really hard, although it's hit the whole state. And we've learned that during this series. But for now, Brennan, thank you so much for that call. And here's an email from Alex in Hillsborough who says, I grew up in Hooksett in the Hackett Hill area, and I loved it, all caps, Alex says. I was surrounded by nature and would commonly wake up to deer, moose, bear, fox, all sorts of other animals in my backyard, which was so nice. The best part, though, was being able to make it to Manchester or Concord in about 10 to 15 minutes. It truly was the best of both worlds. That's a nice way to describe what you talked about earlier, that, you know, instead of saying, Manchester, we're, you know, an hour from everything. It's we've got the best of both worlds. So, but then Alex says, now I've started my own family. I want nothing more than to move to the same area, but it's just too expensive. I've recently purchased a house in the Hillsborough area, which is still nice, but one day I want to move back to Hooksett. Alex, thank you so much for this email, because we should really talk about housing. This is probably the number one issue in a lot of the regions that we've covered, that and workforce development along with opioids. So maybe to you first, Donnelly, but everybody, how would you describe the housing situation in the Nashua area?
It's a tough situation. The average price of a home there has gone up significantly. I mean, when I, probably middle of my term as mayor, the average house in Nashua had a value of about $250. Now that average is closer to $300. The ability to have mixed income housing. So people tend to, and I think that this was a mistake a long time ago with zoning and things like that, particularly in some of the towns. People go to the cities if they can't afford to live in the towns. The towns don't have a mix of housing, so it makes it a challenge. Some of those towns are recognizing that and are changing zoning to try to accommodate that. But we tended to congregate poor people in an area instead of, so when a developer, this is probably the easiest example to demonstrate what I mean. I think it's similar in Manchester, particularly with the older housing stock. But when a developer would come in and say, I want to build 300, you know, single family homes, the city would say, no, you can only build 200. And instead, the city could have said, yes, there's room density for 300, but 100 of them have to be a home that's affordable to this population. And then you would have switched up the population. And by the way, a lot of the problems that people see when you congregate different incomes in a different way so that people look at each other as those people and these people. And that, I think, has led to a lot of the problem because Nash was basically 96% built out.
That means there's just no more space to build.
There's no more space.
Wow. I didn't realize that. What's the situation in Concord, Caitlin? What sort of housing debates have you covered?
Well, so first, I guess I would kind of like co-sign what Donna said, is that you see like a lot of towns around the area, they have very little housing. And even, or when I say housing, I guess I would mean apartments specifically. And even those are pretty high priced. And then you come to Concord and it's kind of like the similar thing, you know, through like property taxes and everything like that. So it's like you see, for instance, like a median two-bedroom apartment in Concord was $1,200. And, you know, like a lot of people, that's, you know, it's fair market rent. But what is defined as fair market rent, I don't think takes into effect, you know, if you're young, something like college debt. Like even like a one-bedroom that's $900 is like out of reach for a lot of people when you have $400 in credit card or college debt a month, probably credit card debt too. So I think you see like a lot of dependence on Concord in the area to like take housing from people in other towns. You also have this issue where it's, you know, it was founded in the 1700s. So a lot of the homes that exist there are close together. They're single family homes that have now been converted into apartments. And so with that comes the issue of parking and not having space on the streets for people to park. And New Hampshire's really a car-dependent state. And so in Concord, when you have everybody, you know, four people and everybody has a car and streets just can't handle that.
That's really interesting. And I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're right, Caitlin. So it seems like you're saying one of the good things that Concord is doing to address the housing crisis or shortage is breaking up these big old houses into smaller apartments or group houses. So that's great. You're using the housing stock efficiently. But now those four different adults in that house all have cars, and the downtown areas just can't accommodate all those.
Right. And I think you're also seeing a lot of people trying to bring in market rate housing, which is great because it makes the city look good and it shows that you have this kind of quality people and you bring that in. But it also displaces a lot of places that were considered affordable housing. You're seeing in the south end of Concord, this area where new market tax credits or new housing tax credits, I think they're called, which is basically places where you can get funding to incentivize development. That area is shrinking as more development comes in. And so in some ways, it's like, it's great because you see these areas that are getting like newer housing, you know, is bringing in like people who can afford that. But what's happening to that population, some of which who have lived here for over 20, 30 years? Where are they going to go when their building gets bought up and they have nowhere else to live?
What are you seeing in Manchester in terms of housing, Will?
It's a challenge.
And the Manchester area broadly, the city, but also those bedroom communities.
Correct. I think it's certainly on the rental side. It's tough everywhere. And in the city itself, we have a 1.6% vacancy rate.
Wow.
Present.
Right. Wow. Now, excuse me for interrupting, but didn't Manchester start building these micro apartments, super, super small apartments? That got a lot of play.
Correct. And actually, the building that Stay Work Play has our office in, the flats, is a micro unit. And it's full. And it's, you know, the vacancy right there is zero, and the turnover when it happens gets filled quickly.
Wow, you just built it. I mean, that just happened.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago, and the same development company, Elm Grove, is building another one on Elm Street right now. So really talking about the demand there. One of the things, you know, I'm working on in City Hall is these things called accessory dwelling units, also known as in-law apartments or granny flats, and working to update, you know, those ordinances in Manchester. They're allowed, but only if it's attached to the primary residence. So if a homeowner wanted to, say, put in a studio apartment above a garage or a carriage house, that's currently not allowed.
Really?
Correct. So whereas
a single person be happy to live there, probably.
Correct. And that could really help, you know, particularly for the younger people, your recent college grads or other young people who probably can't afford a larger place, even if they could find one. So we're working toward that as just one solution.
Well, let's go back to our listeners. And again, the number 1-800-892-6477. You can send us an email to exchange@nhpr.org to Pittsfield, where Dan is waiting. Hi, Dan. You're on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to give a...
Dan, we're losing your line. Can you start that point again, please?
There. Being that...
Wow. Dan, I'm so sorry. Maybe you can call back when you're in a better cell coverage area, because we did lose your point there, and I do apologize. The number, Dan, for you to call back and everybody else to call in is 1-800-892-6477. Dan was calling from Pittsfield, which is sort of the outskirts of this region, but still a bedroom community for Concord or Manchester. I wonder what you think, Will, what's the capacity of the more rural parts of this region to provide that housing, and what are the limitations?
I think the capacity there is, as Donna Lee said, though, it's a lot of it comes down to zoning. And you get in, you know, some of these communities which might have, you know, 2-acre, 3-acre, in some places 5-acre minimum zoning, which means you can only put one structure on that size land. And they just, you know, by design don't want density. And I think there are a number of reasons for that. The one you often, you know, will hear is we don't want to, you know, overload the schools. But, you know, school age enrollment is declining. We need more people. And I think that, you know, the towns are beginning to realize that, you know, some a little bit earlier than others, maybe more in a reactive manner than a proactive manner. But, you know, I think a lot of it will start with, you know, adjusting zoning and inviting developers to come in and do these projects.
Is it just a matter of, you know, changing a zoning law, Donna Lee, or is it you also have to build the infrastructure, the water, the sewer, you know, whatever, electricity, I don't know. You know, so maybe a town would want to say, hey, sure, we'd love to have, you know, some young families in here, but we just don't have the physical infrastructure to accommodate those developments.
It's all of those things. But density tends to be, you know, a dirty word in any community. I mean, like in the city of Nashville, you can build 70 units of elderly housing on an acre or less. Actually, I think it's a half an acre even. But that same elderly housing, if you went out to one of the towns, you can only build 10 per acre. So even though it's a single building, you're ending up. So if people understood that if you want to keep that rural nature of some of those towns, density is your friend because you bring everything closer together. The roads that accommodate that within the development can be smaller. And so that infrastructure itself is less of a burden. And you still get the beautiful, you know, woods or streams or whatever you want around that property. And it can be a good thing. So I think part of it is also educating people about what brings in school children and why sometimes that's a good thing and why sometimes it's a challenge. But the state has put in so many different provisions to allow to encourage that, whether it's redeveloping vacant buildings and being able to keep your property tax rate stagnant for what the value of the property was before development. They allow you to do things as it relates to something that impacts the school versus doesn't. So I think there's a lot of tools. I think people just aren't necessarily comfortable or confident in how to utilize those tools in a way that doesn't impact their community negatively.
Again, you can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org, or call 1-800-892-6477. Allegra says on Facebook, Nashua has an active arts scene and it's growing. Great American Downtown hosts several cultural, food, and music festivals, including also an acclaimed farmers market, and City Arts Nashua helps artists get their arts projects underway. And there's a Nashua International Sculpture Symposium, which is part of City Arts Nashua, which places sculptures made in Nashua each spring around the city in great spots where people can interact with them. Allegra says this is the only organization of its kind in the country. The arts, culture, activities for people of all ages and interests is alive and well in Nashua. Wow, Allegra, that's great to hear. I also want to turn to the other side of the coin of this housing development issue that we've talked about, and that is people's concern that, you know, when you build housing, that sometimes means you're gobbling up open space. Sometimes it means you're redeveloping old properties like the, you know, the sheds or the garages that you mentioned, Will. But maybe to you first, Will, and then anybody else, Caitlin and Donnelly, jump in. What is that conversation like in the Manchester area in terms of, yeah, we need housing, but boy, that forest is beautiful, or boy, I'd hate to lose that old farm.
Well, it's playing out right now, in fact, in the south end of Manchester on South Mammoth Road, right near the Londonderry line, one of the kind of last remaining, you know, suburban-esque areas of the city, where there's an area a developer wants to put in, I believe, 160 townhomes. It's currently zoned for 20-some-odd single-family homes. And, you know, right now there's a rezoning petition, you know, that's gone through the courts and come back to the alderman. You know, so it's a big deal. And, you know, the residents who live around there, you know, a lot of them, some of them are in support, but a lot of them are opposed. But on the other hand, yeah, we have a housing issue. We need more units. So it's a balance.
And Caitlin, Concord, one of its attractions is it's very green. There's still lots of open space here. But I wonder what debates you've heard about as you cover the city and surrounding towns on this.
Well, actually, the first thing that I thought about when we talked about that was actually in Henniker, that this year they passed a zoning that allowed for more cluster development, specifically for elderly housing. And that's something that I thought was really interesting, because it's like out in Henniker, you have New England College, which is one of the most like diverse. It's a pretty small college, but it's still very much a presence in a place that's as small as Henniker. And that was a topic that really kind of had people going one way or another. And I think it's interesting to see in a lot of the small kind of bucolic towns, the conversation out there towards like, how do we get more housing so that people like don't have to give up their old homes or like have somewhere to downsize into, but also keep that kind of feel. You do see that in Concord though as well.
All right, we'll talk a lot more after a short break. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to chime in, or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. We'll be back in a minute. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Our summer series, Going Local, concludes today. Every Thursday this summer, we've explored a different region of the state, and this week, it's the Merrimack Valley region. So if you live in this part of New Hampshire, tell us what's great about it, and tell us what you wish was different. Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And if you're wondering, do I live in the Merrimack Valley region or not? Well, it includes the three big cities, Manchester, Nashua, and Concord. Also, bedroom communities like New Boston, Bedford, Milford, Hollis, Hudson, some of those southern tier towns. Canterbury in the north, Pittsfield to the east, Henniker to the west. So that's an idea of what the Merrimack Valley region looks like. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. John sent us an email. He says, thank you for covering the Merrimack Valley, in quotes. First time I've heard the term. Like you mentioned earlier, I think we often get half-joking shade from the rest of the state. One thing I'd like to see in Nashua would be more building upwards, both to address housing shortages and increase walkability. As Ms. Lozo said, we are a very developed city, but we are so spread out and unwalkable outside of Main Street. John, thank you so much. And real quickly, Donnelly, how walkable is Nashua?
Well, actually, there is a plan that you can find on the city website that talks about making it a more walkable city. The river walk, when it's finished, will be pretty profound. But he's right. Outside of kind of the downtown proper, it's not easy to get to. But it is very bike-friendly. And there are bike maps on the website as well. But he's right about going up. So downtown with the arts and all the vibrancy going on, if you look at Nashua's downtown, unlike Manchester and even to some degree unlike Concord, it's shorter. And so there is a fair amount of buildings that could be built upon for some really terrific housing opportunities.
Okay. Well, thank you for the email, John. And let's go back to the phones. Megan's calling from Laconia. Hi, Megan. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment regarding the housing situation that you were discussing earlier. So my husband and I just had our first child a couple of months ago. And prior to that, we had been living in Concord for about 3 years. I actually work in Concord. And we had to move to a bigger apartment. So what ended up happening is that we had to look up north and find a two-bedroom that we ended up moving to because we couldn't afford any of the two-bedrooms around here. In addition to that, my husband had to quit his full-time job to stay home with our daughter because we couldn't afford the daycare. And, you know, it was just really heartbreaking because I love this region. And hopefully we get to come back. But I just wanted to comment regarding that, especially since, you know, we're a young family and it would have been nice to stay here, but we had to look elsewhere.
Wow, Megan. Well, the Lakes region's or the Merrimack Valley region's loss is, I guess, the Lakes region's gain. But it's kind of a sad story, Caitlin, that she really wants to live here. She wants to raise her family here and she just can't afford it.
Yeah, so what that made me think about, and I feel you, Megan, because when I was searching for an apartment a couple months ago, I was looking for space for me, and you know, people were advertising like maybe 200 square feet of space for $800, and like, I'm sorry, like that's like a ridiculous amount to ask somebody who is young to pay for it, especially like if you're a young family like these guys, and you know, the going rate, first of all, it's so competitive in Concord, you know, you go for something and it's gone like immediately. But then, you know, you're looking at something that it might not be a lot of space for $1,100 or $1,500. And yeah, it's steep. I can completely understand why you would go up to Laconia.
Well, I guess that's the downside of living in an area like the Concord area or Manchester and Nashua that's so convenient, Caitlin. I mean, there's it's got a great downtown. There's still a lot of green space. It's convenient to everything. So everybody wants to live here. So I guess landlords can charge, you know, whatever the market will bear.
Right. And, you know, certainly its property taxes has a lot to do with it. In fact, when Will was talking about not overloading the schools, my mind immediately went to people's concerns in Merrimack Valley school region, because that school district in that area, their property taxes in Penacook are much higher than they are in Concord. And that's specifically because of that school district. There's been conversation a lot around the Caleb Group bringing in mostly low-income housing up in Penacook, and it would be like one of the first like big housing developments that's happened up there in a while. But a lot of people's reluctance with this site is that, you know, one, they were hoping to see more mixed-use development, you know, like apartments, but also, you know, like commercial stuff and things like that. But also concerns about like, well, is it going to bring in more school children? And, you know, like, what is that going to do to our property taxes? Which I think it's unfortunate that things are tied in like that, because we all recognize as an aging state, more children is good, But for when you're living right here, right now, and you think about your property tax being impacted, it's just like it's hard to see any benefit to that.
Sure. With everybody focused on the aging of New Hampshire and workforce shortages, you'd think they would welcome young families, but there is that more immediate impact that you talked about. Donnelly, I can see you want to jump in. Go ahead.
Just a quick point. I don't think people realize it, but single-family housing brings in more school children than multi-use apartments and lower-income housing.
Okay. 1-800-892-6477 is our number again, and thank you for that call. And let's go next to Manchester, where Eric is on the line. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for picking me up.
Okay.
I wanted to comment.
Go ahead, Eric. You're on the line.
All right. I wanted to comment on embracing increased density within the core of Manchester, and specifically opening up the height restrictions, the density restrictions on housing, and allowing for a greater amount of mixed-use development within the core.
Eric, thank you for the call. And you talked about this earlier, Will, real quick, but go ahead, remind us what's going on there.
Sure. So, you know, I'm in complete agreement, and, you know, it's you know, a number of factors come into play, and I think we're starting to see this in downtown Manchester in the Mill Yard. And, you know, one thing I'll just, I know we've talked about this a little bit, that I'll also mention, in addition to zoning issues, there are oftentimes parking minimums that come into play. And, you know, those in Manchester in the core have been kind of reduced significantly, you know, downtown. And I think that, you know, the more we can reduce parking minimums, of course, that would also help to have better public transit. You know, that would that could kind of help these things and really really encourage mixed-use density.
Well, and you said the magic word, transit. We should talk about transportation in this region. This has been a big theme in some of the other regional shows that we have done. And Donnelly, I'll turn to you first. In some of the regions we've covered in this series, transportation is a huge headache. In others, less so. How would you describe it for this region, the Merrimack Valley region?
Sporadic,
okay.
So, you know, you have the city of Manchester, Concord, and Nashville with public transportation, all of which have different amounts that they provide and ridership. I know in Nashville, I remember when we hit our 500,000 rider and we were talking about it. And so people that are in Nashville and can take the bus to go wherever they need to, job, work, grocery store, mall, whatever it is, love that, but people in Milford and Hudson are reaching out to Nashua to go, can you run a route through here and can you do something there? And I always wanted to run a bus to the Manchester airport for people, you know, because Boston Express takes them to Boston for the plane. Well, you know, why aren't we bringing our citizens from Manchester and Nashua to the airport from this, you know, the city transportation? But all the communities that surround the bigger cities really have no transportation. People that need paratransit.
Or no public transit.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry. They don't have it. And the traffic problems that Caitlin was talking about have a huge impact on, I mean, just drive down, you know, I have the reverse commute. So I drive up to Manchester in the morning, I look at the other side and I say, I'm glad I'm not on that side. and that's happened since 1985 when I went in the legislature.
Okay, but Interstate 93 is being expanded. That's supposed to help, right?
It's supposed to help, but it can't just be there. Again, if we're talking about the Merrimack Valley, right, we're talking about not just north-south, also east-west, which doesn't happen.
How would you describe the debates, Caitlin, that you cover over transportation in this area? And by that, I mean broadly, you know, roads, but also public transit.
Well, specifically talking about the I-93 project, which has a big impact on Concord and on Bow, I think there's a lot of concern there to see how those are going to impact future economic development in those areas. And Concord, there's a lot of concern about how it's going to affect the bikeability. You know, Concord's really trying to push this bikeable like kind of thing. And so there's concerns about like getting access to the river and things like that. But Concord also has the coach line, which goes down to Boston. A lot of people use that for commuting. I think
the bus is packed. Yeah.
It is always full, even early in the morning. But it's kind of, again, like what Donna says, you have these little areas around it that are silos and they can't get to, you know, to get there, you have to drive in order to take that bus if you wanted to. In Concord, there's also the CAT bus, which I think honestly is underutilized. I think there should be more effort made into expanding it because it really does go, you know, Concord is so small that if you just like put enough resources into that public transportation system, you can get anywhere in 10-15 minutes on that on one of those buses if it were just utilized correctly.
Yeah, sometimes those buses are almost empty. I've seen them around town. On the other hand, the Concord Trailways, the parking lot is always packed. They just expanded the parking lot. Boom, it filled up. So that's a direct line that people seem to use a lot. And I know 93 has a the expansion has a big it's a big question about the future of this region. So I'm going to ask you a slightly different question, Will. You're in Manchester, and from what I understand, people there have been frustrated by the bus. Also, some people want the train. I mean, public transit's been kind of a big debate in your city.
Yeah, and it's, you know, oftentimes I think it's a chicken or the egg scenario. You know, I formerly served on the Manchester Transit Authority as a commissioner, and you know, we would often you'll get criticized. Well, you know, you only run until 7 p.m. and you run these circular routes that
you'll
come around. Correct.
Intercity buses.
Correct. And there are some intercity buses that Manchester Transit Authority runs. They run buses to Concord and to Nashua as well. The intercity, you know, only run, you know, loops once an hour. And so, you know, if I would love, you know, I have, you know, a car, and, you know, if I wanted to take the bus to the mall, for example, I'd have to, like, make one transfer. It'd probably take me more than an hour to get there, or I could just hop in my car and drive there in 12 minutes. And so people say, well, if they ran more frequently, if they ran later, if they ran on Sunday, I'd take the bus. And the bus says, well, if you'd ride the bus, then we could do more frequency and go later and more often.
That is a chicken and egg issue.
Correct. And it's tough. And, you know, the funny part is that I think here in the Merrimack Valley, you know, we probably have the best public transportation system in the state, you know, between, you know, our three cities and then also, you know, services like CART, which kind of serve the Derry-Salem area, you know, but still everything's relative.
Although the Seacoast has the Amtrak down Easter.
Correct.
Which can shuttle you quickly up to Maine or quickly down to Boston.
Right, but only because the state of Maine is paying for it, you know, and they can't get to Boston without going through New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But you're right. And the train is a whole other issue too.
Now, recently, it's interesting that you served in a transit capacity because I feel like, you know, 20 years ago, Manchester downtown had better bus service to Boston and points south than it does today. It seems like there was a concerted decision to take it out of the city and move it to the suburbs of Londonderry and Salem.
Correct. Yeah. Exit 5 is the biggest, you know, kind of transportation center. And there's still, I think, 4 or 5, you know, buses a day that come to the downtown transportation center. But you're right. There's no parking, you know, in downtown Manchester. Or I shouldn't say there's not enough to serve, you know, the population that commutes as there is in Londonderry.
I have to ask you this, Donnelly, because Nashua, you know, pretty unified on the desire for a train. Elsewhere, there's a lot of debate, but in Nashua, it seems like everybody's kind of on board with this. So what's the status of
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. I was very concerned when I was the mayor about if we ended up putting in the train station over in the, you know, exit 2 area, that, you know, people would drive right through the city just to go to Manchester. So we purchased land downtown, so for a kiss and ride station, you know, a drop off, you know, so that's there.
And
for a train.
So you purchased the land already.
Well, we did it with the state and the feds for a park and ride station, which also has a demonstrated area for a train station. It actually is right across from where the original train station in Nashua was.
I see.
So we always advocated for a train, not only to Boston, to Lowell, but to the Manchester Airport. Because truth be told, we are not going to have success growing the Manchester Airport to the degree that we could without a train. I mean, many of us, if you try to fly out of Manchester and something happens, they put you in a cab and pay it to bring you to Boston to get that other flight from the same airline. It's why we lost the Jet Blues of the world. It's why Southwest has less. Train is the reality. New Hampshire is going to be this donut hole. It's going to be the only place that doesn't have one. I mean, we changed our buses over to CNG to help with some of the air quality. We used our congestion mitigation funds for that. There is a way to fund train if we could just convince people. And I think part of what hurt the debate was people thinking that it needed to go all the way up, you know, to Concord and beyond. If we would have focused in the Nashua, Manchester area, I think we would have been successful. That success would have demonstrated what could go next.
Well, hard to believe we really have almost run out of time. And I did want to ask you, Caitlin, we should talk a little bit about the opioid crisis. That, again, is a theme that has come up every single week in this regional series. How would you describe the way the opioid crisis has hit the Concord area, Caitlin? What are you hearing from people?
Well, I think it's, like everybody says, it's something that has hit everywhere in the state, and it's not immune to it. I would say one of the most interesting conversations about that in Concord right now is what is going to happen with Hope for New Hampshire's departure. I mean, they were certainly like one of the bigger like recovery center areas, and now it seems like, looking from the outside, somewhere like River Bend and like a lot of the smaller areas kind of have the support of it. So it's a question to see like who is going to come in to kind of fill that void, or does it need to happen, or what is that going to look like?
Well, ending on a more upbeat note, and I'm going to ask everybody this question. What's the future of this region? Will, what do you think? What's it going to look like 10 years from now? And you can focus specifically on Manchester.
Sure. I think it's going to be a more interesting, bigger place in 10 years.
It'll still have, weird, to use your word.
I sure hope so. That's why I ran for office. I'm just kidding. No, it'll be a better, more interesting place. You'll have, I hope, if we have anything to do with it, better mixed use density, more interesting downtowns, more people, more arts, and it'll be a even better place to live and work and play.
How about you, Donnelly? What's your region going to look like?
I would say about the same. I see what we have just getting better and more people involved. And I think the people of Caitlin's generation and, you know, those in their 30s are going to really bring a different perspective. And they're going to be in positions to make things happen.
Caitlin, last question. One of your favorite places in the Merrimack Valley region. You don't have to pick your absolute favorite. Tough one, I know. The music's rolling. You're under pressure.
Tie between White's Park and the Hopkinton Greenway Trails.
Okay. All right. Great. All of you, thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate it. Caitlin, it was really nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That's Caitlin Andrews, reporter for the Concord Monitor. She writes the paper's downtown column. Will Stewart, good to see you. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Will Stewart, executive director of Stay, Work, Play, and an alderman in Manchester. And Donnelly Lozo, really nice to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Laura.
Donnelly Lozo, former longtime mayor of Nashua, today executive director of Southern New Hampshire Services. So if you missed any of our Going Local series, you're in luck, because next week, to finish out the summer in style, we're going to play back for you the entire series, starting Monday with the Great North Woods. You can also check out the series on our website, nhpr.org/exchange. And this is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.